Well, good morning. As you know by now, today is Senior Recognition Sunday. We're recognizing our high school seniors and their accomplishments as they prepare to go to the next place in a few weeks. And I will say that there was at least one person who thought that senior recognition meant that we were going to recognize all of our senior citizens. And no, that's not it. So we changed it to High School Senior Recognition Sunday. That's a long title, but that's what we're doing today. They will be here. We will have six or seven, I think, of them with us at 10:50 today. To them, high school might be the end of an era, but there is, when you think about it, really nothing that is final in life. I mean, when one thing ends, another always begins. And so, at least in my experience, the best that we can hope for is a little rest as we transition. But being people who follow God through Jesus Christ makes us particularly well suited to walk through transitions and to live that kind of lifestyle. I mean, after all, we know that Jesus came to earth as a baby. He lived among us as a human, and he died and was buried and was resurrected. And not only that, he's coming again. So that means really that those of us who follow Christ are living in between the times, between the time when Jesus walked the earth and between the time that he will come again. Our seniors are living between the times of attending school where everybody knows your name and beginning the next step of the journey, which will in all likelihood send them to places where a familiar face will be an event worth mentioning. In fact, I'm guessing that every single one of them at some point has thought that living in Mason is so boring. And if they are like most of the classes ahead of them, they are not the only ones who've said that. But the fact is, every senior in high school says that about the place where they live, whether they live in a metropolitan area or whether they live in the very smallest town in Texas. There is something that calls us to live beyond what we've always known. There is something that calls us to seek new experiences and to stretch ourselves farther than we even think we can possibly stretch. Our hope, that is the grown-ups, our hope is that we have been able to equip our seniors for the next part of their journey. Now, today we find a similar situation with Joshua. Joshua has been learning from Moses as they have wandered in the wilderness with the Hebrew people. Moses has taught him how to manage people, how to fight in battle, and how to love and honor and obey God. In the very first chapter of Joshua, we're reminded that Moses has now died, and Joshua is the leader of the Hebrew people. And he and all the Hebrews are camped out and ready to cross the Jordan River into the land that God had promised them. An era has ended and another is beginning simultaneously. So God gives Joshua some instructions about entering that land, and he tells Joshua how large the territory will be. And then in verse 5, God says, "No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. God reiterates then the importance of keeping the law, and he tells Joshua to meditate on it day and night. And then in verse 9, God repeats what he's already said. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Now, when God says something, it's important. But when God repeats himself, it is highly important. In fact, we disregard it at our own peril. And now I'm going to switch us to John's gospel. And we're going to be in chapter 15. And this passage that we read today is part of a longer passage called the Farewell Discourse. It is a small portion of a message that Jesus gave to the disciples before he was taken by the authorities and crucified. It's kind of like the last words that parents give to their children before they go unaccompanied into another place. You've all heard this speech. I've given it myself. Don't talk back to the adults. Stay with the group. Use good manners. Be nice to the other kids. Follow the rules. We've all given that kind of speech to someone at some time, I'm sure. But this speech is a little different. Jesus says he's leaving. He will not be there at the end of the event to pick them up in the school parking lot when they get home. So in a nutshell, in verses 9 through 17, this is what Jesus says. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And then he ends with, this is my commandment, love each other. We hear even more repetition in this set of instructions from Jesus. So what does all of this mean? We disregard repeated instructions from God at our own peril. And so it seems to me that there are two things that are important to people who follow God and who begin one new era as they end another. And those two things are love and courage. God tells Joshua to have courage, and Jesus tells the disciples to love each other. Now, some people might think that love and courage are two different things and that they have very little to do with each other. But in my book, love and courage are synonyms. And followers of Christ should know that. Because courage without God is foolhardiness. Love without God is sentimentality. Courage and love are only helpful when they are guided by the hand of God. We have to be able to love each other, put our confidence in God, and be courageous as we walk forward. But you see, God is very clear on this. He will be with us. He is with us. God never abandons us. He said that in the book of Joshua. But we often stray from God just so we can try our own hand at ordering the universe, but that never works. If you take the time to read some of the stories of our greatest heroes throughout history, most of them will give credit to God for their heroism. Those who know God and who know how God loves us know that love has nothing to do with flowers or romantic dinners or even romance at all. Those things are lovely, to be sure. Most women love that kind of thing, and I don't know, maybe men love it too. But those are a pale imitation of what love really is. Because you see, love requires courage. The courage to stand firm regardless of the circumstances, the courage to walk into uncharted territory with no guarantee of success, the courage to persevere when the way is unclear. And the converse is true. Courage requires love. The love to stand by someone without expecting anything in return, that requires courage. The love to see someone through God's eyes instead of through human eyes, that requires a lot of courage. And the love to remain faithful when there are so many things competing for our loyalty. Love and courage are synonymous. So as our seniors begin this new part of their journey, I'm going to ask them all to think about these things. And I'm going to ask all of their families to think about these things as well. I'm going to ask you to think about these things. Because the fact is, you don't have to leave the county to embark on a new journey. You don't have to leave the county so that you can leave something behind. Maybe we all need to think about these things. Maybe every single one of us needs to tell someone we love them. Maybe every single one of us has someone who makes us wince when we think about them. Having the courage to love the people who make us wince is what Jesus is talking about. Love each other as I have loved you. We are never told to love each other as long as we agree. We're never told to love each other as long as we are all comfortable. We are never told to love each other as long as our feelings are not hurt or our sensibilities are not offended. Jesus said, love each other as I have loved you. It takes courage to love in this way. It takes courage to reach out to someone in love. It takes courage to give all that hurt to God and to claim His promise that courage and love are ours, not because we are strong and courageous, but because God Himself is with us. Now, most of y'all know I'm moving at the end of June. And I've been spending a lot of time sorting through things in the parsonage and in my office. Now, some of those things are going to go with me to the next place. And some are actually good enough for others to use, and those things are going to various and different resale shops. And some things are of no urgent use to me, but they do remind me of the people who gave them to me, so those things are going to. And then some things look perfectly good on the surface, but I have no use for them anymore. And those things are going into the trash. And I don't believe that those things that look perfectly good are even useful to other people. When we make a new beginning, when we simultaneously end one thing and begin a new thing, we have to take stock and we have to sort through the things that we need for the next part of the journey and leave the stuff behind, maybe even throw it in the trash that we don't need to be taken with us on the next part of the journey. Now, have anybody ever packed for college or packed to go to trade school or packed to leave home? So we all need clothing, right? They're all going to need some clothing and they're all going to need some other things to sustain them on the next part of their journey. They're also going to need to pack the love and the strength that they have received in this place over the course of their years. We all need to pack in that way. No matter if we're leaving the county or not. But we don't need to take everything when we start a new journey. In fact, every time we do start a new journey, it's best to leave some things behind, because you know life can get heavy and life can get burdensome. And when we let go of some of those things that we've been carrying around forever, we can be freed up. We can be freed up for the next part of the journey. And so I think it's always a good reminder just to take an empty backpack or an empty suitcase or even a small empty container of some sort to remind ourselves that God has taken what we no longer need. That thing that we carry around with us that has hurt and anger and resentment and bitterness and all that stuff we carry around with us can be empty, because God will take that from us. And so I commend to every one of you to have to designate some kind of an empty container in your house as a reminder that God can take all of that stuff that you've been carrying around and that is weighing you down. God will take that away, and your container can be empty. Taking such things with us through a lifetime is, again, trying our own hand at ordering the universe. But see, that's not our job. That's God's job. And that's why God promises to be with us. We don't have to order the universe. God will happily do that. It takes courage to loosen our grip on the things that overwhelm us, and it also takes love to hold lightly those things which sustain us. 1 John 4:16 says, God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God lives in him or her. When we take love, we take God. When we take courage, we rely on God, who is always with us. And so whatever journey you are embarking on today, because remember, our lives are lived completely in transition in this world. Go to the next place knowing that you're not alone. Go knowing that God is already ahead of you, preparing the path. Go with love and courage. Meditate on the word, neither looking to the right or the left, but always looking toward God, who loves you more than anyone else ever has, ever could, or ever will. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.